I Saw the TV Glow is the new film directed by Jane Schoenbrunn about a teenager named Owen living in the suburbs whose life is turned upside down when he's introduced to a late-night TV show called The Pink Opaque. This is a highly anticipated movie playing in the midnight section here at Sundance, the same section that debuted Jane Schoenbrunn's first film, We're All Going to the World's Fair, which made a big splash a couple Sundances ago. We're here at Sundance covering the films. I'm your co-host, Zachary Shevich. We're joined by Amanda the Jedi and Arturo Zurita. And yeah, I think we all had this as one that we were very, very eager to see. Amanda, did this live up to your expectations, exceed them? How did you feel coming out of I Saw the TV Glow?
This has been an interesting one because I was really excited going into the fest. I wasn't huge on World Fair. I liked it, but I personally saw a different execution.
Do you know he hated it? We played it back on before we came here because Alina didn't remember it. I remember liking it as well. Oh, he hates that intro. And I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
It's not a matter of qualitatively disliking or something. Yeah. I just can't watch that stabbing moment. It disturbs me in a way that very few films disturb me, which may be a point in the film's favor.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So, you know, going into this, just based on that, I was like, I was excited to see what it was because for everything else, Jane just has a very clear direction in what they're trying to put to screen. And I feel like this really encapsulated that. I know that it got a ton of hype coming out of the premiere from critics and audiences alike. I don't know if I quite hit the highs of them, but this is the movie I can't stop thinking about in like the positive way. All the little things that it does, just the really beautiful, but then like very disturbing ways it's engaging with the premise that it's dealing with, and just the idea of like how much time can be lost when you're concealing certain things, not to go into like details, mm-hmm. but also just visually, this thing is firing on all cylinders. It's stunning. It feels very unique in how it's influencing things or how it's putting things into the movie itself. And the soundtrack is mind-blowingly good. That's like when everybody says we're waiting on that soundtrack, it's for very good reason.
Because it's a soundtrack.
It's an actual soundtrack. Like they got the budget and said, I'm just commissioning my favorite music artists for this, and that's why all of these music transitions are going to be as long as I want them to be, because I got these songs made for the movie and we're using every single one. So I respect so much of this. It's very good. Yeah.
Art?
I thought it was a lot better than the last one that they made. Visually, like you were saying, they do this thing where they're showing the show. Bro, no offense to your holdovers, but that's how you do it. That looked like they stripped it straight out of a 90s Disney Channel original movie. Mine was, I don't know if y'all remember So Weird.
Yeah, of course I remember
Bro,
So Weird.
Bro, that was so weird. That was Goosebumps. And then I had another one, and I was like, no one's going to remember
this
movie.
Are You Afraid of the Dark? But
Can of Worms. And I hear Justice Smith mention Can of Worms, and I was like, this man knew what was up.
Yeah.
There were moments where they would cut to what would be, you know, the present 90s for them. And it looked beautiful. It was crisp. You know, there's these shots of the road that feel like Elm Street where it's all foggy.
Yeah.
It's like nobody even lives there. The drawings that they have of the ghosts.
Streets,
all looked really crazy. And as they transition you into this world, like the audio of it, the crackling of the sounds, the mixing. A phone went off during the movie, and for the entire runtime of that phone ringing, I did not know if it was within the world or if it was someone in the...
It took 30 seconds for me to be like, that was a phone. That's actually someone behind
it
us.
Was
they,
going
they
with,
were
like the
tripping
pants.
Out. They were trying to run. So I was like, okay, that was, yeah.
But no, all that was firing on all cylinders. And I also think that it's Justice Smith's best performance that the dude has ever given. There is a close-up to this man's face. And I was like, I don't know what you had to do to get to that spot. But he did it, and he killed it.
And his voice, what he does with his voice.
He's got this
whole thing with his voice that it's just, it's kind of unsettling.
Yeah.
So, but it's like in a
it's
good
like
way.
It's like his bow
way.
Is afraid.
Yeah.
That was my immediate Bruh. Comparison to it, because he feels so like hollowed out and tortured in this movie in the way that I think Joaquin inhabits in Bo is Afraid. Yeah. And it's just a really wild and wildly inventive type of story, the way that it uses, as you mentioned, all those kind of like nostalgia tinged retro aesthetics,
but
also
not in a bad way.
No.
Like we're out of the 80s craze right now where everybody loved the 80s stuff no matter what it was, Stranger Things style, in my opinion. Now that we're in the 90s, it's like I'm worried that I'm gonna fall into that bias, but this is like the setting,
right?
Not the bait.
Yeah,
and so much of it is sort of about looking back and about nostalgia and sort of, you know, the way these things sort of stick with you and
shape you,
you know, shape you, bury, burrow underneath your skin is what I'm trying to say.
Mm.
And I think There's so much about this film that is absolutely burned in my mind, even if I didn't necessarily have like the most incredible experience watching it or something. Like I think there's maybe one or two other films I've seen at Sundance that I'd say right now that I maybe liked more. This is the one I'm most eager to rewatch because it's dense.
Oh, I have it on the schedule.
We were all literally like, if we had a link for that, we would have popped it on immediately the second we got home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just in comparison to We're All Going to the World's Fair, since that's the one that most people probably have had the chance to see, you know, it definitely is a film that takes some chances and it has some experimental aspects to it, but it's significantly more,
In a room?
Yeah, it's significantly more ambitious and significantly more like the types of horror movies that you're experiencing, but it has all these interesting ideas, too, that make it a lot deeper than your typical film of this aesthetic or the film of this tone,
and still has Jane's voice. So if you liked World's Fair,
yes,
this is your number one. But like very you just creepy. Added as your watch list number one.
Yeah, right.
It's That's going to live it. Up for that. If you like the World's Fair, it's set. If you didn't like the World's Fair, I think there is a much bigger chance you will enjoy this one more.
I agree.
Because of the performances, because of, like you were saying, the soundtrack. I just think the visuals alone
the execution
are incredible.
Too.
The execution of it as well. We kept talking about this being one of those movies where you come out of it and I wanted a little bit more. Like I wanted more.
Yes.
I wanted to know more about this character. I wanted him to fill and answer things about him, about his friend. Because I don't know if any of you want to kind of break down a little bit more of the premise of the relationship that's going on in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's this interesting thing in that Justice Smith's character, Owen, is introduced to this show, the Pink Opaque that we were talking about at the beginning.
But he can't watch it.
But he can't watch it. His parents don't let him. And it ends up being this sort of gateway into uncovering new ideas about yourself and new sort of thoughts on how the world works, I guess. And I don't know.
Even if you don't realize it.
Yeah. And a lot of that is through this relationship he has with the Maddie character and how that develops. I don't know. It's a very, very interesting thing because I think it also, there's a relatable aspect to it in that you're being brought into a culture and you have this sort of wiser, older figure.
We're Maddies to some people.
Yeah, exactly. We try to be.
Yeah. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So from this point out in the review, we start to talk a little bit more specifically about certain plot elements that might be like lightly spoilers for people who are trying to remain really like clear on the movie. But if you want to know more about the film, stick with us. We're going to get deeper into I Saw the TV Glow.
But then even Maddie, you can tell Maddie is having her own struggles that are very similar to the struggles that Owen's going to. Mm-hmm. Like you have moments where she just distinctly says things that are very vulnerable and he doesn't even quite know how to respond.
He doesn't know what it means.
And then he'll say something that is just so incredibly profound in like just a casual passing conversation, and it really just kind of like gets to the heart of what the movie is. I do think it's really beautiful in the way that I think you can apply it to a lot of different things, but it does have a very clear vision of what you can tell it's going for. And the 90s setting really matters for that, I find, just based on who Jane is as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
The topic of what Jane likes to deal with in film is like trans identity or just queer identity.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of this one too. And there's just like, it can just be applied to a lot of different aspects of your life because it really just comes down to like the toll it takes on you not to authentically live as yourself. So honestly, it's even doing the Love Me thing better than Love Me did, if I'm going to be completely honest. But then in a really horrific way, because it's showing you how far something can go by trying to deny this. And then that 90s setting specifically is, if you feel this type of way and you don't know what it is, you don't have a reference for it because it isn't out there, you will spend the next 20, 30, 40 years of your life just dying inside. And that's what I mean. Being trans wasn't what it is today in the 90s. Even being gay wasn't mm-hmm. what it is today, what it is in the 90s, which I can attest to there.
Well, according to Ted.
According to
episode
Ted.
One.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's not using it as nostalgia. It's using it almost as a period piece let you know what was going on.
Yeah. So it's that frames that future.
Yeah. There was no hashtags. Like, there wasn't anything that he could just go and seek out. Like,
and it's like subtle things too.
No, yeah, because for a long time, it's like culture is one of the few ways that, like, if you are, if you don't have a lot of people like you around you, you can see yourself in stories. You can,
yes.
And if you even think about the ways in which queer people have reinterpolated stories that aren't necessarily distinctly queer.
Yeah.
Like, but it's an important part. Cadet
Kelly.
Exactly. Like, it's an important part of self-identity and discovering yourself. And I think this movie gets at that in a way that is really, really rare and really, really effective.
And an even better way, because what you're saying right there is, like, queer people have always had to talk about other movies.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a queer movie that I think can connect to anybody. And that's the point. A lot of people is like, oh, well, I'm not gay, but it was a good gay movie for you guys. You know, a movie's LGBT, even though it's a love story, it's like, no, but it's still a love story. It just encompasses this section of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw one review from a trans critic on Letterboxd, Willow, who said in their review that, you know, I think trans people can look at this film and say, like, cinema is for us. Yeah. And that's a really amazing thing. I will say one thing that I brushed up against, just because we're talking about a film that has had, like, lots of effusive praise. Yes. People are talking about it as, like, this new masterpiece. I thought the film went to great lengths to explain itself. There's a lot for a film that's as, like, visually dynamic and singular as this one is. It sort of stops to have the characters talk for long periods, and those were the moments where I started to not necessarily be quite on its wavelength as much. Not something that made me dislike the movie, but maybe kept it from being that, like, amazing experience that a lot of people are saying. But at the same time, I do kind of wonder, you know, if you take some of that away, is it an impenetrable film? Is it too hard to understand? So I don't know. It's something that maybe on a rewatch won't bother me as much.
That's fair. I think some of that is also just to really drive home some of the dissociation bits too.
But is it,
like,
not
getting into the lore, I don't know if it's handholding. I think it's because some of it's not. I think some of it, depending on the moments, I almost think it's leading you in the different direction. It's leading you down the literal sense versus the, like, what is this?
That's a good point, because I was comparing it to, like, Stress Positions, where she's been arguing about the narrator. I don't think the narrator is needed there at all. But she knew, I need someone to walk them down, and now I'm presenting Stress Positions by letting people know it's okay, they're unlikable characters, and go from there.
Yeah, that's what you need. Yeah.
For James, I don't even think the exposition was the issue for me.
I
think it was how long it was.
Mm.
That was the thing for me. I was like, I'm okay with you explaining this, especially because how you said it.
Yeah.
They're kind of trying to recount something. Is it even the truth? Mm-hmm. Are you even, like, getting to the truth of what, you know, their past was, or whatever it is that there's a very lengthy monologue that happens in the movie. And it looks cool.
It does.
I just thought it was a little too long.
I can agree on that.
And I will also be on the camp that I know y'all were very happy for some of the musical guests that were on there.
They're long.
A music video. Does it look dope? Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But there's
one of them got the guy next to me. That was when he quit. Was when
she's screaming?
Sloppy Jane.
Was it Sloppy Jane or the one right after Sloppy Jane? Was it King?
Yeah, it was King
Woman.
King Woman.
Whoever had the spikes on the hair. Yo, the guy next to me was like, nope, 90 minutes in, I'm gone. And I was just like, wait, this is what did it for you? But I can see that being the thing that
people want.
Mainstream viewers.
I can see that being the thing you watch that.
The people who like these movies.
The people who like it will
but
love
the
it.
The mainstream That's audiences mean. Will be like,
and
I don't think this is for that.
I found it indulgent.
For sure.
And I'm okay. I was okay with the indulgence, but maybe if it was like Country Twang, I'd be like, for the love of God.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right? Because then you'd be like, oh, I don't want this director's indulgence.
Yeah, like, we don't have a problem with Phoebe Bridgers showing up for a few minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I just feel the same thing for the monologue's length. And like you were saying, they took advantage of, like, I'm going to get a budget.
Yeah.
I'm going to use this budget. Yeah, that's raw. That's cool.
It's cool.
But, like, damn, after the certain one, I was like, this is a music video. This is, like, a good compilation of them. No, they'll be in the middle of a speech.
Too. Yeah.
And then the concert will go.
Right. Yeah.
And then they'll come back to it. And it's like, I respect
it. It interrupted
at the same time,
flow of the movie.
It was a little long.
Yeah.
I liked it. But. Yeah,
it was cool. I don't hate it.
No, I get it. And I don't know. I just think that all adds into the style of what makes this thing feel so unique for what it is and very cool.
The tattoo bit. Cool. Yeah, I'll give it that. You do need a good soundtrack. And I think that's bigger than using the nostalgia of the 90s. It's also understanding what gets something to be a cult classic, a cult hit. We were describing this word as well, what does cult classic mean nowadays, but
this idea, already beats like it can't be it.
No, it's like the iconography of the ghost tattoo is like so clean.
It's so cool.
I'm like,
people are gonna get that.
Yeah, like you've seen people with these Harry Potter tattoos, and we were talking about Supernatural yesterday, and we see people with all these tattoos, and I'm like, this literally like gives you the position of where to put the tattoo with your friends.
You
to
can
bond
get
with
glow
it.
Ink.
And it looks so, I don't know, it felt cool. You got a soundtrack to go with it. And then these visuals, there's a supermarket shot that has stuck with me with the American flags in the back. There's a TV glow shot.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
That was sick. And there's a shot with his mom where she enters the house and has to stare at the stairs or at the living room. What was Jane cooking? I was like, yo, this is good stuff right here. So I there's a screening at the Ray. And if anybody wants to go to the Ray screening on the 23rd, I think that this may be the one movie we're rewatching at the fest.
Yeah, it could happen. Like, I'm strongly considering
it. But I'm with you. There's a lot of things that were, like, holding it back from me. I wanted to praise it like everybody else. But I'm like...
At the same time, I do wonder, like, you know, we're experiencing these movies in a way where we're, like, binging them. And we come in with a lot of expectations, too, because festival hype gets really loud. And also, just this is a weird story. This is an atypical story.
Yeah.
And I think...
Atypical.
But I think, like, you know, if you look at it, doesn't have like this a typical like three act arc that you would expect, right? It the way that it there
it's
is
chaptered, but it's
it's
not
chaptered,
a three
but
act,
it like
yeah.
it doesn't.
Yeah, but
it,
I like it.
It works for what the movie is trying to say. It is in it's thematically like appropriate. It's just like. Maybe on that first watch, when you have some certain expectations for it, you have some maybe hopes for it, it you feel that difference. And then when we rewatch
we
it a couple
it
days
away.
On the right, we'll appreciate it for the masterpiece it might be.
Yeah, I can agree with for that. Because sure. I do think that if we had managed to get into that premiere, maybe we would be singing. Because I do think that maybe you go, you see praise and you start, your brain, whether you want it to or not, starts mixing things in different ways and maybe anticipating something different. It's not so different from what I expected, but it's the one I'm very excited to revisit. It is already gone up like a half star rating for
after
me
our
like,
talks yesterday.
Yeah,
you just, figure it out after you see the movie.
It's
and
when
you
I
think you know what you like until you come back to eat a burrito.
Yeah.
You reheat your
and you're
stuff,
thinking it's what you're thinking
and you forget
about
to pick up Zach and Caitlin because
you're too,
you're
busy,
too busy
arguing
talking
about
it.
Yeah,
because
it's,
you gotta move.
Yeah,
it's okay, it wasn't that cold.
We told you to go cook. You were shopping. It's fine.
Found him in a snowbank.
Yeah, snowbank. No, I just do think it's a lot. I just think it's really beautiful. And I think, you know, I'm going to shout out the David Ehrlich review where he's not even his proper one, which was really good. But his just quick one on Twitter where it was like, I'm so happy that people will have this movie. And it's the people who need this movie are going to have it. And not in the like... Kumbaya, I'm so happy that people will have this.
No,
this
totally
is like a cool,
oh, this
fucking
is not a
authentic
Christian movie where like you need to text everybody afterwards,
no,
because they
is...
tell you that this is a part of the movement.
Yeah.
This feels like a film.
This is a cool,
this feels
authentic
like a film
experience that it's telling a story, but it's universally accessible.
David Lynch promised it.
And I'm going to say, like, I don't think there's anybody, at least if you hit a certain age, I don't think there's anybody who isn't going to relate with that point of like, you know, years are suddenly gone. It felt like literally I went into a black hole of
that
time.
That was great, yeah.
And I'm like... I don't like that,
poetry.
But like
some
it,
of the
that's
line
a gut
here.
Punch.
It's poems. Like
yeah. there's some really, really incredible lines. And I think part of what you're talking about too is like this is a really exciting thing to get in terms of Jane Schoenbrunn's evolution, because We're All Going to the World's Fair is a really interesting film. We all had our reservations with it, but it's obviously like they're working on a really distinct level. And
they understood it.
Yeah.
Like they understood what was happening in the World's Fair. And that's the thing, even when you watch this movie, it's like, I'm not catching along, but I trust you. Like, look at those posters in the back of the school.
Look
at the name of the school.
Yeah, that was
there's
the big
so
one.
So many interesting things there. That
so
it,
much
it,
interesting.
It not only begs for a rewatch, but it knows what it's doing.
This is a big stepping up of their game. Like, this is a announcement of like a significant filmmaker who we're going to
you
continue to hear from. Yes,
you have a voice.
Yes.
And that's when I think it's again. It's like the more I think about this movie, it's the more I dislike Love Me. It's like weird. They're not similar in any way, shape, or form, but it's just. It's and some of that's the festival's fault, just how they've been presenting things. Mm-hmm. So no shade, but like it's just this is really good and I'm excited for the people that are going to get it. And it's just always really exciting to see filmmakers that have such a voice, even if it doesn't always work for you, because you know they're only going to get better.
Yep.
And to have, in my opinion, increased this much movie over movie is like pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have a favorite scene or quote that you can keep a little cryptic.
I do like the one, it's like that whole kind of moment where he's talking about like, I even got a family too. And then it's just like the minutes turned out, like that whole section there. I was like, that's a gut punch. That was a gut punch.
Yeah.
And then the moment in the happy birthday scene.
Yeah. The happy birthday scene is a standout.
Oh,
yeah.
And the scoop out your insides. That's not a gross scene. It's just
So Amanda's is 000, 2 timestamp. How long's the movie?
yeah, pretty much.
No, I mean a lot, and without getting into some specifics, there's a couple like really brief shots, mm-hmm. kind of when like the intensity has gone up a level, and I think you know exactly what I'm talking about because they only last for a moment.
Yeah,
but it's burned into my brain.
Oh,
makes you want more.
I feel like I could recreate.
Do you have one? Do you have one? Mine is obviously there's one with Justice and the TV.
Yeah,
that's all I'll say. And I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah, that was the one that I was even considering using as like our intro for this video.
Damn, bro, I wish there was a still of that one. That one was crazy. Yeah.
That would have been an amazing still.
That's an amazing one. I like the line. I won't even finish it, but he goes, I don't even have my learner's permit. How can I have a?
Yes, yes.
I won't even finish the last one, so y'all can go see the movie. But I loved that line. Same thing like you were saying with a bunch of the just really quick shots that makes you want it more. You get grace with such a beautiful image and you're like, wait, that's it? We're moving on to the next one?
Right.
I thought, though, again, with the way that they were doing the, what's the name of the show again?
Pinko Pig.
The way that they broadcast that show looked very much like Goosebumps. And then they had like this like killer ice cream man as the villain of the week for one of them. And I was like, this is too scary. This makes no sense, bro. You got to get this out of here. But they play with that too.
They
do. Idea of when... the show and when the movies world, I'm just gonna leave it like that. The way they use the aspect ratios between the both of them, I think is very, very clever. Mm-hmm. I heard one of y'all saying it behind me, but Madeline was in this movie, no?
Yeah.
Okay. She was one of the
Isabel.
From the duo
in the,
okay.
in the Pinko Pig,
because
yeah.
I saw them. So again, if you're a Madeline fan, I mean there you got an alum working in there as well. I had one more thing that I was going to say. I cannot remember what it was. Oh, yeah. So much praise for this movie. I think we all recommend it. We have to say something negative. My man, Justice Smith, had a 5 o'clock shadow playing a younger version of himself.
Yeah.
They ask you to sort of stretch your...
It's tiny.
Believability
but
for...
I had one
I think at that point, they probably...
What ages he can play, yeah.
I was just going to say they should have used him the whole time then, if you're going to do that. Because like, Bridget...
I liked the little kid.
I did like that the... I did. I liked the little kid.
The little kid was
yeah,
raw.
I just feel like... I'm like, in 2 years, that kid is not becoming Justice Smith.
He's not becoming Justice
but,
Smith.
And then it kind of felt weird because Bridget Lundy Payne just got to be Maddie the whole time.
Right.
They but pulled they it also off. They pulled
had...
it off.
Their character's supposed to be 2 years older?
2 years older. But just they can pull off the like looking smaller to be the younger version at 14.
No, it's a film that if you are sort of nitpicky about like actors not looking the right age, like you might have some issues with it, but I don't
it doesn't
know.
Matter, yeah. Especially when you're really looking at what the movie is talking about and addressing and going through. It almost feels like it's like a feature, especially when you start thinking about that time loss, just all of that.
It's
I
also
think it
that
works.
I think Justice Smith's performance really sells it.
Very, yes, I agree.
I ended up going 3.5, but I suspect that I'm going to raise that to 4 stars on my rewatch.
I have already done that. So. I started at 3.5, and then it was just the more I'm thinking about it, and the more that I think it's like the core messages you take away, and just being so excited to revisit it, earned it that like for me
absolutely.
that extra bump up for me.
Your boy was in it too.
Oh yeah, Connor O'Malley makes a surprise appearance in the film. He's really good in it.
He just acts like himself.
Yeah, I mean he's well cast.
Is that the
look at me? What did they do?
The manager or whatever.
Yeah, I can hook you up with.
Great opening scene with him as well.
Fred Durst, small role in this film.
You will not
blink and you
recognize.
Miss it?
You will not recognize that it's Fred Durst.
Yeah, because y'all said it was
the dad.
Yeah.
You will not recognize it.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot to like about this movie. It's the movie that we are spending the most time talking about. We're going to continue spending time talking about it.
We skipped a screening just to talk about this movie.
Yeah,
right now.
Like kind of.
You know, we'll come back with our recaps of the fest, and I bet we're all going to have even more to say about this one too. But just as our first review, I mean, I think you know we're highly recommending people check it out. It's obviously going to be maybe too much for certain mainstream audiences, but I don't think they're necessarily.
They don't care.
Caring about it. Yeah, there's a section of people who are going to be really, really just over the moon that they got this. And so it's...
They already got one with World's
Fair.
It's
so unique.
Yeah.
Now the fan base is going to grow.
Yeah. I just want to say it is like very nice and refreshing that like we've kind of gotten out of the stage of having to hide things like the L word and movies that are like really bad with like age gap relationships and gay things. And you have to like fucking hide that shit in your closet.
What's the L word?
We'll have a talk
the
after
show,
this.
The L word.
We're going to have to talk after this.
Do you not know what the L are you?
What's the L word? Maybe a viewer doesn't know.
The L word is like the iconic lesbian show that is toxic as hell. And I used to hide the box sets in my closet, Art.
Oh, I thought they couldn't say an L word. I apologize. I thought there was an L word. What if I said it in the review?
It's just like it's Scott Pilgrim. It's lesbians, okay?
She really hated Love Me, if you can't tell.
No, but I just, it's really refreshing that like kids can just find this stuff like more accessible teenagers. It's like going to be so accessible to them and not something that like they have to hide.
Absolutely.
The way the movie shows it, there's no streaming password you could just borrow for him to have caught up with the show.
Yeah,
and it
really
uses that era and what they had to do, like, just at its peak.
The specificity of some of the cultural references.
Oh, yeah, no, so good.
I don't care about, like,
the font.
The universal.
The font on the show, everyone got it. Everyone got it. Everyone got it.
The written and directed by.
So good.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, and it's also a thing, like, I'm seeing a lot of people responding to things that I didn't even catch, because, like, I'm not a Smashing Pumpkins fan, but apparently there's a lot of Smashing
there
Pumpkins
is,
references
yeah,
in this.
There is, yeah.
Really monumental film. I think we're all really excited that we caught it, even if we're not necessarily, like, the biggest celebrators of it. We're
in your wavelength, I think we're getting there.
In your
we're
wavelength
game, there.
I think we're, like,
yeah,
right there.
We're getting there. We're
people
getting
are, like,
there.
Right here, but we're there.
You, I think you said this is your favorite film you've seen so far. It's on that, right?
Well, I just did that to mess with you guys, and then I kind of broke your heart. But it is in the top three right now. That
yeah,
we've
we're
seen
two
so far,
days in, so it's
we're
still.
Two
we're 2 days
in.
Days in.
I think we're all at in. Almost 10-ish a piece. Obviously, that's, what, a fifth, sixth, seventh of what we're
yeah,
going to see?
It's not, yeah.
But this we're is low. Definitely going to be one that we're going to be talking about throughout the fest. One that I do think is going to be one to rewatch before we leave, because we don't know the release date on this. We know it's picked up by A24.
Yep.
And all I can say is whatever theater you watch this in, look, we saw it with press, which is always going to be a different experience to seeing it with an audience, you know?
Not a lot of walkouts, but enough walkouts. That you're like, why are you even here?
Like, why did you come to this movie?
Like,
I always feel like they're more industry walkouts. Than
yeah, I know.
Walkouts.
It's like, why? You're 78 years old. Why are you here?
You're going to praise public screenings for people who paid money to see this movie and you can feel their energy.
Mm-hmm.
You also get it drained when you go to a press screening and you're like, I know people who didn't get into this thing and you're just going to walk out of it.
I hate
and,
yeah,
like,
that's what
rude,
I hate
in
that.
The middle of like a really good scene.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that.
So point being, I think it's going to be even better the second time because I think it's playing at the Ray. And the audio in this, I know people are waiting for this Alex G score slash soundtrack.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah. I know their first film
was
one that most people discovered on their laptops, but I hope this is one that people venture out to the theater for.
Oh,
because
you,
like,
yeah.
If, unless you have like incredible sound at home, you are missing out on some of this.
I agree. I really agree.
Will we see a better produced filmed audio film this year? Like, this is it's the actually mixing, very yeah. impressive.
It's very impressive.
Like, that's how good that is, that even if you don't care for the story, you'll have to be like, yeah, there's like 20 frames in here that I'd print out.
No, it's sick.
It's truly haunting, nightmarish in some ways. It's going to stick with all of us, and yeah, we'll sure definitely report back more thoughts on I Saw the TV Glow.
Good 2-year hit for A24, top
right?
21st, and then this one, really
this
good
one?
Yeah.
And we'll be here covering them all from 10:30 to 11 p.m. Central
every Saturday. It is Saturday.
Hey.